We are back with the Buffalonian podcast. I'm Joe Calley. As always, I'm joined by none other than Dom Loss. You may hear Charlie Puth see you again in the background, serenading the start of the show. It's a message out there, even though Poyer's playing for the ops now, just like Thurman did, the Terminator back in the day. Listen, it happens. It's a business at the end of the day. And Poyer's from Miami. Okay? Give it to him. He's going home, whatever. It was tough to see Rachel Bush throw the fins up out like 20 minutes after it happened. But like, you know, we'll move past it. The Bills made a plethora of moves. We covered that on the last show just to clear some cap space. And now we've seen some free agency casualties. So that is what we're going to be covering here. But what general thoughts after this crazy week, after the legal tampering period begins in the NFL? Lots of huge things going on, minus the Cowboys. They're just, I guess, high as a kite in their front office.
Sitting on their hands.
Yeah, with their thumbs planted.
They're apparently going all in, though.
Apparently they're going all in the draft. Is that what they're saying?
No, they said they were going all in. So,
oh, okay.
I guess they're not, because
they haven't done anything. And the market's gone. What are you going to get, Justin Fields?
Yeah, apparently Zach Moss, $4 million is a little too expensive.
Yeah.
It's a little too rich.
But... Well, you lost Tony Pollard, too. So it's that's tough for them. But what are your thoughts? I mean, just base level before we dive deep into it here.
It's interesting. I thought, honest to God, when we were after last week, I was like, man, this week's show, we're going to have like a lot to talk about. We still do to an extent, but it's more internal moves so far, like re-signings and like people signing elsewhere that I guess, you know, there's really been, I may be mistaken here, but there's like two, I guess if you count Trubisky that happened last week, three, like, external signings,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Morrow, who's the linebacker, and now Holland. So, it's a little slower than expected. I'm not, I guess, super surprised, because it's not like the Bills have a ton of cap, but no,
they don't have all the money in the world to play with. So,
they don't have all the money to play with. It is kind of weird seeing a couple of like the targets that you want them to go after kind of get the like the price range you'd be interested in signing them. So,
yeah,
again, it's not the same for every team. Some people might have different demands. But yeah, it's definitely been an interesting couple of hours, and excited to chat about it.
Yeah, no, it'll be a jam-packed pod today, because the Sabres are also keeping the meat dangling in front of the Lions' face. With the how many points out now? They were 7 before last night's game.
5 now.
They're 5 points out.
3% chance of making the playoffs.
3%, but you remember how long they ran with 2% last year? It can be done.
Down to 1 point.
Listen, if this team, if we literally sat here and shat on them all season, right, which was duly... It was
warranted.
Warranted. Yes, thank you. I was struggling to find that word. It was warranted to sit here and just take a dump, right? Because it was just dumb decision after dumb decision that led to this team being nothing more than mediocre. They sneak into the playoffs and just like win us back. It just despite what we were saying. And Don Granato takes his extension in stride, making the first playoff appearance for the Sabres. Oh, how wrong we were midway through the season. I mean,
I won't feel a little bit bad though.
No.
No,
I think they deserved everything we said.
No, absolutely.
100%. And I think, I don't know, you're starting to see, did you see Tuck shove Thompson the other night? We've seen some cool stuff. We'll get into it.
I mean, not to stay off kilter, but, you know, the Red Wings have really choked. Like,
they've fallen apart.
So, like, that's the big reason why. But going
back to the Bills, we'll get back to the Sabres in a little bit.
So, I think right now for the Bills, they haven't made a move externally that I'm incredibly interested. Like, Trubisky, backup quarterback, whatever.
Right. I feel better about him than Kyle Allen, though. Like, that is one thing I will say.
I just don't think he's very good, and I would have preferred
them actually going for a backup quarterback.
I would have just preferred them drafting a quarterback.
Mm. Sam Hartman, like I've said.
No, he sucks. He's really bad.
He's just going to get Jake one of those. He has Jake Fromm. That's a fantastic comparison. He's going to get one of those head and shoulders
commercials.
Not calling him racist,
though. Not calling him racist.
No. But he's going to get one of those head and shoulders commercials with Palomalu or whoever. You know what I mean?
Mahomes.
That'll be it. That'll be the extent of his career.
But no, I mean, backup quarterback was on the checklist. They got that. I think Rapp, it's interesting. Is he the starting strong safety or is he the third safety? I guess we're going to find out. Cam Lewis comes back again. Third or fourth safety, whatever.
He played solid when he was asked to. So that's, you know.
Solid, kind of, not a whatever signing. Morrow, the linebacker they signed yesterday, kind of.
The highlights on Twitter came quick of him just whiffing in the secondary. So,
but he's a Dotson replacement. He is my like. I think he's a Dotson replacement who's going to play like that third linebacker. I don't know what that means for Dorian Williams or Baylen Spector, but I mean, at least it makes the linebacker room a little bit deeper and replaces that loss. So that's fine. And then Matt Collins, I mean, you need a sure field replacement. Maybe people think it's shorter, so I guess that's kind of a veteran insurance for a position battle. So, before you talk about like the two big resignings that the Bills had, but like, those moves are just they're on the checklist. They're just not cool moves.
No, they're not splashes. They're not splashes. Rap.
Like Rap may be the only guy that I could see like being a starter.
Right.
Everyone else is kind of like,
okay, depth. We got
like
depth.
You need to replace Dotson. Check. You need to replace Kyle Allen. Check. You know, you bring back Cam Lewis. Okay. Like you need more depth in the back end safety wise. Not someone in the system. Check. Again, short, questions about shorter Sherfield probably on his way. You know, not going to get resigned. So Collins checks that box. So, it's been, that's why I'm saying it's interesting. Like all the hype and it's kind of been like a surprisingly slow start. Obviously they get the $10 million from Tre'Davious White in June. So I don't know if they have
maybe they've got something cooking in the burner or something like that.
Sure. Know, maybe
a
they
thought or something like that, but.
And they signed Leonard Floyd last year, I believe on June 5th. So
yeah,
who knows with that.
He went to San Francisco as well.
So yeah. I guess also Allen restructured.
Knox reworked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't say restructure.
Don't say restructure because it doesn't mean the same thing, I guess.
I could understand that because reworked sounds more like a pay cut and restructured sounds more like
they worked with him on
more like
whatever.
They just moved money around instead of money just disappearing, I should say. But we'll talk about Deion in 2 seconds. But the two obviously Porter goes or whatever, but that doesn't in fact the comp. I'm talking mostly about comp, but I will just say Porter leaving. It's whatever. I think he's still a viable safety. So
yeah,
it's a good move for Miami, like on a team wise. And let's be honest, he always wanted to play at least in the state of Florida with the lower taxes, and now he's going to get that opportunity. So, and like, I just think booing him was just kind of like, yeah. Do you see this man's shoulders? Like this man's shoulders are just like the ACs. Do you see his shoulders?
No.
Look up Jordan Poyer, like a picture of Jordan Poyer right now. Like his shoulder is screwed.
And really,
like his elbow is because he had like AC joint sprains, so his shoulder like it's like a hill, it like just dips down. It's like really messed up, which I feel bad for.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm looking right now.
Just look up, not to be weird, but let's look up Jordan Poyer's shoulder.
That's what I did.
All right.
Is
there a good photo or no?
No, I'll have to do some digging on that.
But
is it actually just straight up slope though?
Yeah, it's. It's tough to watch. Like it honestly shows you how much like he's played through and like how much.
Remember, he had the Gronkowski elbow brace for the Terminator on for like 2-3 seasons now. You know what I mean? So, listen, you can kind of see it in some of these pictures where it's sloped more than the other one. I would say, you know what I mean? But no. Listen, as I said, Thurman also went to the Dolphins too. Right. I mean, it's a business. I don't think it's his home in the off season too. So why wouldn't you spend your final years of your career in your home so you can just retire when you're done? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where I'm at on that. I don't think it's anything like they got screwed. I'm sorry. The Dolphins have been having a rough time. Christian Wilkins, the ball bag grabber, goes into the AFC West, right? One of your bigger pieces on defense. They had a couple other people walk, didn't they? A couple linemen walked.
They're
Van Dinkle is gone. Van Ginkle, whatever his name is. Van Ginkle's gone. So, like, they've lost a couple key players there.
They've lost a lot in their, like, cut Jerome Baker. So, they're going to have to regroup defensively. And
let's say that wasn't their strong suit last season either, their defense. So,
well, I think it's difficult. A brief point on the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of what the Rams had to do, but like going without draft picks and only hitting on one player in Achan, that crap eventually really piles up for you.
And so we're seeing that now.
Because then you had to be expensive with all that. So,
and they don't have the cap space. They were more cap hell than the Bills were last week, truthfully.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, though, looking at the comp picks of the Bills that have lost, so Gabe Davis and Leonard Floyd qualify right now.
I think we'll get screwed on that like Tremaine again?
Probably. Right now they said Gabe's like a 4 and Leonard's a 5. So with Gabe, 3 for 39 could go up to 50. 13 is just too rich for me. Listen, he's had 800-yard seasons. He's had the 4 touchdown playoff performance. Good leader because he was a team captain. Really good run blocker. So
consistently inconsistent though at the same time.
Again, just isn't a guy that you can
count on every play.
He's a flawed route runner.
Like, he is.
He's solid deep, but like
his blocking ability is fantastic. Remember that game? He didn't get a single target, but he blocked the entire game.
Yeah, it was named player though.
Yeah, player. He got the game ball for that. So I mean, listen, like there are upsides to him with his size and everything for sure, but he's definitely not a wide receiver too. Like
he's just never been that. He's just never been a good enough route runner to possibly do that. And he has a lot of like his analytical profile is not very good. So I'm A-okay with the Bills not paying him and moving on.
Yeah, letting Chad Hall pick him back up for Jacksonville. Yeah,
And then with Leonard Floyd, I think this is the writing on the wall that he wasn't going to resign. I think every time we said between AJ Epinesa, Daquan Jones, Leonard Floyd, who would you rather have? Whatever. I think both you and I would say Leonard Floyd is 3 because of age, because of you knew he was going to follow the money. Like he was not. Yeah.
Didn't he tweet out? I wanted to get paid or something like that.
I think on locker room cleanout day, he was like, "I'm just going to follow the money," which I respect.
Yeah,
because like
he's got the talent. I mean, he just had his best season of his career. This is the time you do follow the money. Well, truthfully. This is
probably his last big-ish contract, and he also just had a 10 sack season. And again, one of his better seasons of his career. And
yeah, so go somewhere where you can make the bag.
He literally just had a year where he had to wait till June to sign. Now, I don't know if that again. I don't know all details of that situation. But like the Bills approached him in March and was like, "Hey, like we're gonna get. We want to sign you.
We just got to free up the space.
But we don't want to jeopardize our third round pick of Tremaine Edmonds. Well, supposedly the round pick of Tremaine Edmonds. So can you wait till June?
Like hindsight shows you didn't have to even worry about that. But
yeah. I mean, it's still a fourth round pick. But with him leaving is it's tough because he was solid. But I also think he's not replaceable. But like
no, but listen, AJ Epinesa age wise has more upside. Like it made more sense.
I don't
to keep
cry
him
myself to sleep with. No. Floyd leaving because I always thought he was going to leave. But
and who knows if Von Miller comes back this season and is actually himself like he was before pre-ACL injury. You're not really missing that all that much. You know what I'm saying?
Well, then the Bills do a good job of talking about now they're re-signing the two big moves, I should say, of Daquan Jones and AJ Epinesa. For all we can tell, they've been pretty team-friendly contracts. I think AJ Epinesa's cap at this coming season is under $4 million, and I think it's right around 6, I think, through the 2 years. And then I think there's a couple of void years or whatever. And then Daquan 2 for 16. And again, there's some language, but it's probably maybe a little lower than that. So
yeah,
honestly, getting those two guys probably right at the right number for my liking. And I like both the players. And I think they were both, I think Daquan was always high on my list. And AJ kind of grew up.
He's climbing it.
Well, AJ wasn't always necessarily on my list because I thought for sure someone was going to pay him 3 for 30. Like I thought for sure some random team was going to look at him and be like, you know what? He's not a rotational defensive end. He's a starting caliber defensive end. And like, we're getting a steal here. Like, you know what I mean? Like Shaq Lawson signed with the Dolphins in 2019 for 3 for 30. So
that's right.
I thought that was going to happen with AJ, which I was like, I'm not willing to match that. But to get him at the contract they did is I think definitely worth it. And again, it's Von insurance. It's for a young player, second contract on your team
who's got the high ceiling right now. He's still building towards
I don't know if it's high ceiling. I don't know if I fully agree with that. Like I think his ceiling is I don't think he's at his ceiling. Like I think he's he's a young ascending player.
Yeah,
his ceiling to me is 8 sacks, and he's been at that 6.5.
How many picks though? Because he's an interception machine.
Two, I mean, last year. But like, he, to me, is like an 8-sack rotational player. And he gets like 6.5. But like I think, again, he could be an 8-sack rotational player pass rushing. But also, he's improving as a run defender, which is always a weakness in his game. So if he improves that, too, with being steady as the pass rusher he's been the last couple of years now.
Yeah.
And his ability to affect the short passing game with his length. Listen, definitely worth it. I mean, you have Greg Rousseau. And that you have Von, who obviously took the reworking, aka pay cut.
Well, I mean, he's betting on himself with that too, because sure. It's all bonuses for things he
which
yeah incentives.
Who bought the cap or like he's unlikely to hit them, but you know, hopefully Von bounces back, but at least to have AJ coming back is good. And then Daquan, we know Ed Oliver works well with Daquan.
Daquan's a run stuffer, and it's fantastic. He's a great one too.
And he he was a really quality pass rusher.
Yeah.
Before he got injured, and then he had a little bit, you know.
Well, you got to think you're coming back from a torn pec, one of the most.
No, he was fine. But like you just wasn't quite the same player, which is what you expected.
But who knows? After an offseason of work, he might bounce back. You know.
Sure.
Know.
I think that's exploitation. He's kind of.
He's consistent even with the
pack. He's a weird player because he's an older player, but he's also probably was playing his best ball of his entire career. So, yeah. Again,
he's at his peak right now.
He's probably playing at his best right now in this moment. So, I'm not like, we signed an
old man,
an old guy, and we're trying to be young. But, like,
no.
Again, D tackle and edge. This is what drives me nuts, though. People complain about, no one pays more for defensive line and special team but the Buffalo Bills. I was like, well, their positions had to be filled. Like, the first thing that happened with Matt Collins today, I was like, oh my God, we're paying for a special teamer. I was like, well, I'm sorry. When you pay for a guy to be your wide receiver five, I would think you prefer him to play some special teams.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Like, I think that would be kind of like, you ain't going to get a lot of run offensively, but to have value to the team, like, we need you to play special teams and be a run blocker. Same thing with the D-line. Like, they got to have guys. Like, I'm sorry. Like, they need a third edge. They got a third quality edge. They needed a starting defensive tackle. They only have one at Oliver. So getting Daquan's huge because now it's you can go full youth. Like, you have your starters and you kind of have AJ now.
Yeah.
And Kingsley Jonathan, whatever, if you want him to be DN4 or pick a rookie and then have Jonathan be at DN5, then figure out what do you want to do at the backup positions. I think I would assume the Bills aren't done with defensive tackle in the free agency. I would assume they sign one more, maybe two more, and then draft one.
I would assume so. Yeah. Listen, I like you said, no one pays more for defensive line than the Buffalo Bills, whatever the saying is, right? I'm like okay with that though, in a sense, because it's just their defense has been top 10 in the NFL for the past 4 years, right? And is a big reason they do get to where they get to in the postseason.
It's also a big reason why they end where they end.
That too. 13 seconds, you know, all that stuff is defense can't get a stop. So, you know, we're looking to get younger though in the secondary, so that might help in the safety position at least. You know, you have Taylor Rapp now, and Poyer and Hyde, as great as they were, you forget how much time has actually passed since they first entered onto the team, right? So it's
and
like
how much,
yeah.
I think what's underrated too is, listen, they were both, I think, above average. Like, I think they were solid.
So as a tandem together,
they were solid,
great,
in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the injury risk of those two players was significantly high.
Those, like, stingers for Hyde's neck kept happening. Stinger. Poyer's shoulder and arm.
Poyer just, like, getting beat up.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, you got to be like.
And their speed was dwindling. Both of them weren't as fast anymore.
I think Sean McDermott realized that there needs to be changes to the defense.
Yeah.
You know,
well, maybe calling it himself this season, he really saw it.
Bobby Babich, like, I think their plan is to be faster, especially in the secondary.
Yeah. Because they were always super smart in the secondary, right? Trey White, when they drafted him, not the fastest cornerback you could have, but he knew where to be at the right time. So speed might be where they go this
smart
time.
Smart plus speed now. I think they want to be a little bit more of a back end.
Yeah.
So I'll be intrigued to see what they do. Talking about Deion Dawkins real quick.
Yeah. The snowman. He really faked us out there. He had us in the first half. you know, I was sitting at work. And all of a sudden, we start getting whisperings of Deion Dawkins just being out. And we're like, what? And all of a sudden, I look at Twitter, and it's been fun. I can try ranch on wings now and all this stuff. And I'm like, really, really? Wow. This is insane. And then he's like, he just comes back, and I see on the Bills PR that they announced they re-signed him to a great deal. Mitch Morse even commented on the great deal. Did you see it on Twitter?
Yeah, I just...
Yeah, were you taken aback by that at first when you saw him post that? Or did you think that was fake right from the start?
A little bit. I also thought it was pretty fake. I also thought there was no way they were outright cutting him.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I was like, people like, they're not going to strip cut him. Like, he's under contract. He's a Pro Bowl left tackle. Like,
3-time Pro Bowler. Yeah. Like, yeah. And like, he's,
like, if everything was, if he was actually leaving, he was getting traded for like a second round pick.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. But, like, that was in my mind. I was,
no, they're like, they just let him walk and go sign.
The
group
chats lit up. I'm like, oh my God, we're cutting Doc. I was like, there's no way they're cutting Deion. Like, no. If Deion is actually not going to be on the bill, it is because they traded him to the team that he's going to play.
Right. Yeah.
But the extension 3 for $60, you know, gives them, again, was kind of, as we alluded to, an extension option that they can pull to get more salary cap, you know, space this offseason. Also give, you know, reward a player that's been there since 2017, you know.
And who's been putting in the work. I mean, he's been solid pretty much every season.
I think
season.
He's a 2-time Pro Bowler now.
I think three.
Oh,
think
no,
three
you're, right, you're right. It's
yeah,
three.
Three times.
It is 3-time. But it's like a 3-peat.
Yeah. I think he has, because it was back-to-back, I think, or something like that.
I think you're right.
I think I mentioned a couple pods ago, he might have a team record now, or a lineman record, or tackle record.
I definitely think it is 3, but
yeah.
Talking about, I mean, just listen, he's the blind side for Josh Allen, and
they have good chemistry, too.
They have good chemistry. He's been very healthy throughout his entire career.
Knock on wood
that I said that, but
spoke that into existence.
Again, healthy, yeah, he's a 3-time Pro Bowler. You are correct. Three in a row. Yep.
Yeah.
So again, he's been healthy. He's been stable as the blind side protector, and he seems like a good locker room guy. So it all fits there. And obviously,
seems like a good locker room guy. He's the snowman. Come on, he's a great locker room guy.
Sorry for me to just generalize my statement, but yeah. Finally, also it helps with the cap space as well. So
yeah, and that came immediately after the rumored Knox rework. So that still is that. I don't think that's been officially confirmed.
I don't think that's been announced.
Jeff Fowler of ESPN is still the one with the report on
Jeremy
that.
Fowler.
Jeremy Fowler. Yeah. Jeremy Fowler is still the one with the report on that. So,
yeah. So I guess, now if what we've gotten out of the news, I guess 2 questions.
Okay.
What do you think? Do you think, how do I word this correctly? The Bills have 11 draft picks. Over, under, being using 8.5 of them.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think
how much does he trade away?
I think 8.5 is the right line because I'd be trading with 3 picks. I think 8.5 is the right line.
Yeah. Oh, I would say over under 8.5 picks.
I think I was going to say 9.5, but I think
9.5 is too much.
A little too much.
Because I have a feeling he'd trade away too with no problem. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Because they got the comp pick in the fourth round. They got a couple fourth. They have a plethora of picks in the fourth round that they might just
day
sell
three,
off.
They have a plethora. I mean,
yeah. So they
don't
plenty,
have a.
I say under. I think he goes aggressive and trades for some
really?
Stuff. Yeah, under 8.5.
I think they go over.
They really you do.
I think they at least draft 9.
Nine. Yeah, I think they draft 8. So I'm not thinking it's anything drastic.
Well, I mean, but,
they're not drafting for like 4 picks or anything like that. Yeah, but 8 picks.
I don't know. I could see them doing a couple, but I don't know. I could see them actually doing more than 11. Well, I shouldn't say more than 11, but I could see them doing some trade backs.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll do what they did last. Like. Maybe we see a little bit of what they did last year because
what did they jump to?
What I mean last year is Bean obviously did not like last year's draft. Actually, there's 2 reasons. Probably didn't like last year's draft. Also knew those players were not going to make the roster. Mm-hmm. Like heck, the other players that he drafted actually in some time didn't make the roster. So like those would have just been wasted picks.
Kincaid was his boy.
So that's why he smartly traded like his 6th round pick this year for a 6th round pick next year is because.
Now
you push it back a year. Now those guys probably likes this draft class a little bit more depth wise, and probably those guys have a significant better chance of making this roster.
Yeah,
a more not it's less veterans blocking the path to a roster spot. So I still think maybe we see a little bit of that where he trades out of this draft to next draft, just pushing the can down the road. Because again,
maybe. Those latter picks for
next,
sure.
Next year they're probably still in a tough cap situation as well until 26. So we can see, I could see that situation. But I could also see a situation where they trade down from 28 because now they don't have a 3rd round pick. Now it's like, well, okay, right now they don't have a 3rd round pick. The comp came out 4th round pick. With the comp as well, they've already made 1 change with Cincinnati's comp. I think they got rid of two 6th round picks and gave them a 3rd or something like that. So there's two, and there's been also said that like Buffalo, and I'm blanking on the third team on top of my head, also should be talking about to the NFL complaining and maybe they change the formula. So maybe they could still get a 3rd round pick. But right now, I think going from the 2nd round to, I think the second round pick, they have 60, right?
Yeah.
60 to their fourth round pick is a pretty big drop. Like, that's, I think, about 60, 70 spots. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills traded down the first round, maybe even out of the first round entirely, and picked up a third round pick.
Yeah. It's not another question, that's for sure.
Because in my mind is this.
It's such a deep class for wide receivers, too.
I'm not really in the...
You're not on the wide receiver train?
No, I'm trying to make sure I was really. I'm not really on the, we need to get this X wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, outside...
You don't need, like, a like, shorter or anything like that.
Shorter? No, not him. He's a... I don't even consider him a wide receiver. I think he's just a gunner.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just don't see it. Like, yeah. The dude was a five-star, went to Penn State.
Right. Sucked. I just meant you don't have a specific name for a wide receiver you're like eyeing up in the draft.
Well, okay, shorter's a little different. I think he just like happened to be there, but yes. I think it's like Kyrie Elam, I should say. Like
we just had cornerback.
Like, they needed a cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
He was the best guy on their board. Whatever, even if he's the first guy on the board. I'm not tied to wide receiver to say. Like, if Brian Thompson is there, cool.
Grab him,
Thomas,
whatever.
Thomas.
Brian Thomas, yeah, grab
Xavier
him.
Xavier Worthy, he's your guy, grab him, sure. But, like, if those guys go and, like, there's only one of them left, like, I'm kind of not in pro trade-up mode. Like, I just don't think they should do it this year. Mm-hmm. Like, there is an article on The Athletic of, like, the Bills trading up from 28 to 19
mm-hmm.
to draft Brian Thompson. And that, to me, is just I think Brian Thompson's a nice player, but trading up 9 spots for him is a little too much. Because I think it was like something where like they traded their second round pick, but then they got like a third round, like they traded back or something. I don't know how they did it, but
yeah,
I just didn't like the move because I don't think the Bills should be trading up, especially that high. But I just think the Bills should be trying to get another day two pick, and if they trade back and get another pick, like I think that's I was pro trade back a little bit last year, and obviously Kincaid worked out. I am really pro trade back this year because I just think I don't really need them to draft 11 guys,
mm-hmm.
but I would like them to get another second day two pick so they could draft more quality of player.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense, because I'm in the boat of right now, I guess this is going to lead into my second question of what position do you think they should go after do a free agency that they had, but before I ask that question,
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of semi now starting to be in the boat of they should just double down wide receiver, kind of how they did at the end.
Yeah.
Not back-to-back picks, but like your first round pick and your third round pick, per se.
Yeah. No,
actually, now they don't have a third round pick, so me.
Yeah.
Fourth round pick. But point still stands. Like, I think they should be drafting one guy with their first two picks, and they should another guy with one of their higher day three picks.
Okay. No, I don't mind that. I mean, your question was what to do in free agency or something like that now?
So my next question, is this before we move on to the Sabres. I would assume other than depth moves, the Bills kind of have one left in the chamber. They got one in the chamber where they could shoot. Like
uh-huh.
the Leonard Floyd contract. Like they have one like, hey, like we go after this free agency. It will affect the comp, but like Connor McGovern. Like, mm-hmm. I guess that would be maybe a better, because that really worked out. But like, I think they have one shot left in the chamber. What position do you want them to take the shot in?
Mm.
I have mine, but I'm waiting. I want to hear yours.
Okay. Well, I think, truthfully, if you're looking at it, and you're going to draft, in my opinion, you're drafting wide receivers. So I don't think you jump for a wide receiver in free agency here. Maybe safety, like Simmons, you know? Like a solid talent out there, I think you go for it. Why?
No, I'm in a 1,000% agreement with you.
Are you really?
I think it's
because I saw Simmons got released. I'm like, oh, that could be big. Because imagine so you're really gonna run Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin.
Here's my thing.
Like that's what we're gonna do. Like you need to get a veteran safety.
I guess maybe they have like a shot and a half, I should say. Because so I think they have a bowl and a half left. Because I think what's gonna happen, I think Dotson's gonna sign a contract where he impacts the comp.
Yeah.
Like, I think he signs.
He ended the season great. I would be fine with that.
You have three spots. Mm-hmm. I think this is how it works, where they sign two guys. I don't know how it works, but I think they're off signed by signing two guys. So I guess maybe they sign more of a veteran receiver, not maybe a little higher than Matt Collins, so they don't have to go double up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think safety is quite frankly,
it's your biggest need right now. One of the, I would say.
I think it's the biggest need through free agency, because I think on the draft,
there's not depth in the safety class at all. It's kind of bad.
It's not a great class where, yes, I think you could get someone like Cam Kitchens or Cole Bishop. Like, I think you could get them at, you know, like at the end of the third round pick, so it's kind of unfortunate. Well, I'm just going to keep reading it. End of the third round. Like, those would be like the guys to draft.
Yeah.
It's just not a quality safety draft. It's a quantity safety draft. Like, you could probably draft a guy that could be really solid, but he's not going to be like, you don't need to be a game changer, but I don't know if you could expect him to jump right in, which is why I like the rep contract, because if the guy's not, I still think they should draft a safety, but I just think in free agency, I would prefer that they take a swing at a veteran. Cam Curl still available. Unfortunately, Jeremy Chin's off the board. You mentioned Justin Simmons. I just think his price tag is going to be too high.
It's going to be too high, but that's just an example. You want a veteran safety who can play. Yeah.
I think if I was the Bills, if I was Brandon Bean, thank you, Brandon Bean. First off, I'm a big baller right now, so I'm really got to get some sunglasses.
Yeah.
I think they should, again, look to double up on wide receiver in the draft, draft a safety, and sign a safety. So you have drafty, other free agent signing, and ramp. I think that's a solid room. And then just look to fill out the interior offensive line, defensive line, and
go from there.
As
right?
One said, let Broncos country, let's hide.
Yeah, you know, you hear now it's Steelers country. Let's manufacture. That's what the new saying is. Because he got all his equipment yesterday, and that was like,
I honestly, good for the Broncos, because let's ride is significantly better than let's manufacture.
And here's the thing that good on the Steelers though, because they got this guy for the vet minimum, and he's still getting a top contract technically because the Broncos are paying
$38 million.
Yeah, they're paying their foot in the bill. So I mean, honestly, for the way he was treated there, I guess them asking him like, hey, restructure or you're done,
or rework,
yeah, or rework or you're done, and basically threatening him, blackmailing him with that. He stood his foot in the ground. They cut him. They have to pay him all that money. Good on the Steelers for just being like, all right, we're getting you the vet minimum, and you're going to take the rest from the Broncos, you know?
No.
And they get their whatever bridge quarterback, whatever they're going to do with Kenny Pickett. I have no idea, but that's a topic for some Steelers podcast out there that's hyperventilating that Russell Wilson is their quarterback. Who else did they get? They got
Patrick Queen.
That's right.
No, they traded Deontay Johnson to the Panthers.
I've seen Jersey Jerry, Jerry After Dark. We're fans of the program over there, but he's a big Steelers fan, and he's like, Super Bowl, Russ, Queen. I'm like, nope, you cannot. All that's right. Not happening. But anyway, that's time to wrap up the Bills there. I think we should do a mock draft in the coming weeks before the draft. I think that'd be interesting to see where we think people fall and things along those lines. So maybe we'll do a live mock draft. Do some tier lists, something like that. But it's time to talk about the thriving Sabres with a 3% chance to make the playoffs, 5 points out from the nearest playoff spot. Absolutely wild. Absolutely wild. And guess what? You know where they play their best hockey? Away on the West Coast. You know where they're going next week? Doing a couple West Coast trips.
I'd like to hear it.
Yeah. So listen, it might happen.
Listen, if they didn't get swept by the freaking Ducks, they might be.
Yeah. Anaheim, if they could get past them, that would have been the thing. But they defeat the Detroit Red Wings last night, 7-2.
7-3.
7-3. And, I mean, looked like the high event team, but the Red Wings also are crumbling into a puddle of nothing on the ground. So, you know, they play them again soon, don't they? The next couple games, they rematch.
Play them on Saturday.
So, you know, if you've done it once, let's just do it again. Just sweep them this week. So,
hey, in regulation, listen, big win in regulation as well. So,
yeah, you got the 2 points you needed there.
Got 4 points against Edmonton. Them getting screwed, and then
imagine winning a game twice. Couldn't be me. I mean, only a team in history that could do that.
Imagine if they lost at Shea and then they missed the playoffs by a point again.
Here's my question to you.
Oh gosh.
Does that call, the offsides call happening and them bringing everyone back out onto the ice, even though they were changing the locker room, show you that no goal could have been overturned in 90s?
Oh, yeah, it should have been.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Is that, like, I don't know. I thought about that when I saw that. I was like, that's very frustrating.
I am very adamant of saying the offside rule sucks.
Yeah.
I think it's...
you can't, yeah. When I played, I hated
it. First off, I just don't like it because I think it's...
It's soccer-ish.
It's too soccer-ish for my liking. Mm-hmm. But I also just think with the challenge system, I just think it's broken from the fact of, like, the Sabres entered the zone 20 seconds before, like, the offsides happened 20 seconds before the Sabres scored. I could understand challenging offsides if it's like, hey, like, I'm like, you guys had a 3v2 when the one dude just didn't drag a skate and you guys scored, but like, he was offsides and they missed it. Like, I think that's an appropriate use of the offside challenge. I think there should be a time, like, cut off.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but like, 20 to, like, literally, they scored 2 seconds left. And it's like, all right, it's tied again, and we're going to have 20 seconds on the clock. It's like, bro, it's 20 seconds? Like, this, they scored 2 left. Like, that just, I don't know. I just think that's bull. And also, it just feels like this year, more than others, I know the Sabres had, like, a streak where they got, like, 3 straight challenges, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, recently, it just, they also got, last night, they got a call taken back from the offside.
Yeah, right.
So, like, I don't know, man. Just lame.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, that was exciting to watch, I guess. TV didn't come back until they were already, like, ready to go, you know what I mean?
But it was bizarre listening on the radio.
It was, because they kept it there the whole time, Pat and Brian, so they stayed with it the entire
they're
time.
They're like, oh, I guess we're going back now, and then, like, they came back to me later, I guess we're going to issue out.
Yeah, yeah. But so, and then UPL on his birthday clutched up, Tuck and Thompson clutched up, you know, and Tuck was apologizing to Owen Power after the game for the going off sides on the goal. Owen Power, though, I mean, just powered in and just went to it, literally. Like, he just barreled into that zone and just get, like, that's what you want to see out of him, truthfully.
It's
offensive defenseman. Come on.
It's been an interesting couple of days since the trade deadline, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Like, I think
Kyle Okposo's gone.
Yeah, my dad will definitely say it's because he's traded.
Yeah.
But honest to God, it's a little bit of Okposo, probably one of your slower skaters off. Eric Johnson, definitely one of your slower skaters as well.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Byram is playing fantastic and with Dahlin.
Millsap, it's, you know, it's very interesting with the Casey Millsap conversation. And it's not like, this isn't a knock on Casey, and this isn't like me trying to like
go back in time and
say like, oh, this isn't me crapping on him. But I do think the talk of, oh, he is a play style the Sabres don't have, right? More of a possession, kind of grind it out, but also produces points forward. I do wonder now, with the switch from him to Byron, who is that fast pace, speed skating defenseman, can join the rush and then get back.
Yeah.
Like, I do wonder if, like, that honestly is a better fit. Like, yes, Casey brought an element to the table that the Sabres didn't have, but like, that wasn't a perfect fit with high flying Sabres hockey that I feel like they do their best in. Like, Byram is literally, like, if you wanted to create a character to fit the system, like,
he's what you're looking for.
So I do wonder if that's kind of, now again, we're rolling 3 games in, so like,
I know, but that kind of makes you look at Kevin Adams like, nice, you know, like, great, great work, nice, like you knew what the team needed, and you just
nice
did it. Yeah, like, noise, like, you know, like, all that. So listen, I like Byram so far. You know,
what's not to like? I mean, he has 4 points in 3 games, 3 goals, should have 5 points.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned when we first, like, last Wednesday, right, we thought it was going to be all Sabres pod, then the Bills took over the media, so we ended up talking about Casey Mittelstadt briefly being traded. But you were talking about his ceiling in the Stanley Cup playoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's like, not what we're seeing yet, but he's building towards that for sure. You know what I mean? So either way, I mean, it's a cool thing to see, and he's an awesome player, and I'm really, really excited to see him.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when we talk about his ceiling, he's only 22.
Yeah.
I think that kind of gets lost in translation a little bit.
Right. He's really young. I mean, he's a year older than us.
He's okay. God, he must feel
old. He's actually, we got to see when he turned 22 to see the exact math on that, but
that does make me feel incredibly old.
Well, Owen Power is a couple months.
Well, Zach Benson's 18.
So. Yeah, Zach Benson's 18. Like, we're at that point now where we're starting to see players like this NFL draft. They're going to be our age.
Yeah.
And we're not 6'5" monsters.
250, running 4'3". But no, I think there's a middle stat. Again, this isn't me trashing on him. This is just fact. He's 25.
Mm-hmm.
Byram is 22. Like, I think that matters. Like, that's kind of a better fit maybe to what your core is age wise and again, I think it's a situation where I think he's kind of unlock like this high flying pace that they've been playing on, and now you see Power kind of doing it, as you allude to with the goal. Like Dahlin.
I like Dahlin on the right side, I'm gonna be honest.
Well,
he likes it too.
He's a right side defenseman. Yeah, he's left. That's why I went a little bit when people complain, oh my god, we have too many left shots. It's like Dahlin is a right side defenseman. He's not a right side defenseman, he's a right side defenseman.
Yeah, and he's legitimately mentioned that he likes the right side because it opens up passing lanes he wouldn't get on the left side.
Yeah.
Which you're seeing that between him and Byron. So yeah, it's exciting to watch.
They've dominated. Like that's a legit top pair.
If they really play to their peak together, that could be one of the best in the NHL.
That is. And then you also have Power, who I think is right up there with Byram in terms of talent as well.
Well, so like, now he can drop to a lower line and help the depth too.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Three guys.
Yeah.
They're just significantly way bigger on Matias Samuelson than I'll ever be.
I think me too. I think 90% of Buffalo sports fans would agree with you.
Yeah, the only person I think is in the 10% that I know is our former co-host. So,
that's right.
Yes.
Yeah, I do remember that.
But
I think there was a Matias debate in earlier pods at one point too. Yeah,
sure. But I think it's going to be interesting kind of what their next move is as well, because as we alluded to last week, it seems that this is kind of the beginning of
The new era.
Kind of a little bit of what the Bills do with their new leadership, but it's the beginning of a new era
for both teams.
Because I think Dahlin's gonna be named captain, but it's also like, who are they gonna add now? Because there's been rumored reports that they're gonna trade Jokke Haru, who I think has played better, but again, kind of the third pair kind of guy, and if he's going to get $4 million in arbitration this offseason, like that's a trade candidate right there. Like, you're not paying him $4 million. That's kind of just insane to do that. Maybe you could get someone to take Clifton's contract. That's how you free up cap space. But it'd be interesting what their next move is, because they do, in my opinion, need to add a veteran center. So I think that'll be fascinating. But I mean, they played really well last night. It was kind of, and I mean, Benson had, I believe he ended with 3 points. He had a really nice night. Greenway looked really good. Again, Greenway always, to me, will be a guy that's like, if he could ever just become the fourth line penalty killer, like, that is the perfect for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought him, Cousins, and Benson had a really nice night. Our man, Paterka, his 21st of the year. He's played, I think the biggest thing for JJ, obviously, with the goal scoring, has been defensively. He's been really sound, really improved in that area. So we always talked about Quinn being more the two-way guy, but now JJ kind of having that to his game.
Yeah, and he's having a season. Mm-hmm. So I mean,
and Benson already is kind of that guy too as well. So I think that'll be very interesting. And then Tage and Tuck, I mean,
they're kind of looking like themselves again.
They're getting you something at least. And then Jeff.
Did you see the push that I was talking about earlier?
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was like the slingshot, like in Talladega Night. Slingshot engaged.
You know,
shake and bake.
You know what I thought about that? You're going to laugh.
Yeah.
Roller Champs.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's a dead Ubisoft game for any of you gamers out there listening. That, you know, that's
exactly what I thought of.
Yeah. Legitimately, though, it makes sense. That was cool. But like, that's what you used to see out of the Sabres team that made them exciting to watch, right? Like, goofy stuff like that. Like, not even goofy in the sense that it's funny, but just like, they looked like kids out there on the ice playing hockey, right? They looked youthful. They looked exciting. This whole season has just been, I want to leave in the third period because they aren't doing anything fun. You know, you're trying to sell the on-ice product when there is no product to sell. Like, that's the on-ice product. Let your offense just go. Let them cook, literally.
Yeah, I think it's been,
it's been a reawakening.
It's just been an interesting couple of days, and obviously it's only been a couple of days.
So. Yeah.
Who knows?
But wait for the eventual collapse that comes with stuff like this. But what are you gonna do?
I don't know. I think it's a fascinating. UPL has continued to play really well. He got like hit a couple of times last game, which is a little scary of his injury history.
Yeah, with the double hip surgery in 2019. I mean,
you just love me.
I do because I mean, what 20-something early 20-year-old has double hip surgery like that? I guess a goalie would. Yeah, that would make sense. But
he's played really well again. Do I think the Sabres have a chance of making the playoffs? No, I just don't.
I don't want to get my hopes up.
Because I will say this: I think eventually UPL is going to have to slow down. I mean, goalies are voodoo, and he can continue to prove me wrong, and I'll be good for him. And this,
I mean, the word you hear is unless he's injured or healthy, he is playing pretty much, and it's not a weird back-to-back.
As long as he can play, he is going to play.
Yeah.
So I just think that's...
I'm just happy he's kind of come into his
form,
though.
He's literally been the best goaltender in over the course of 2024, he's literally been the best goaltender in the NHL.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. Like, you might have birthed something that you can keep for a long time. Like, imagine you get Devin Levi up, right? And he's producing consistently in a backup role, and you have UPL just cooking. Like that to me just is better than Eric Comrie, you know? Like,
yeah,
you gotta move on from that.
They're like 1-7 Comrie starts or something like that too. So if they actually had like a consistent backup, they might be
you might have more points. You might be in a playoff spot.
They might be in the points, which is again really frustrating that this is like what the 13th straight season we're saying, oh, if they just like actually got
they had consistent goaltending.
They actually got like an actual backup.
Look at what happens when they have consistent goaltending.
Or, you know, if they didn't lose to some of the worst teams in the league a couple times. But yeah, I mean, it's nice to see Thompson talk. It's nice to see Benson continue to play, you know, continue to take some steps. Paterka, I'm just hopeful for this, you know, the season to end on a high note. I think I can't remember who posted.
Do you want it to end on a high note and then have Adams be like, all right, we got our team for next season. See, free agency, we got nothing to worry
this
about.
This is my thing.
Or
this
like, do
thing.
You want it to end bad? So they're like, okay, we got to fix some
this
stuff.
This is funny.
You know,
this is funny because someone posted this and was like, would you rather right now have the Sabres just miss the playoffs by like 8 points? Or miss the playoffs, like get hot and miss the playoffs by a point like last year.
Yeah. It's almost like the Bills.
And
question.
I was like, damn, that is a good question because I disagree with your point on the they won't do anything. I think, but I'm just saying, I actually think they're completely locked in on doing something. Like, they just traded Millsdat.
They have to Byron. Do something.
They were trying, every rumor was saying that they were trying to trade for a forward. That just didn't get done. So that seems like an option thing. And Nuki Haru's thing or whatever. So, and maybe Clifton. So I think for sure this is going to be the same roster. Like, I'm pretty confident in saying that. Now, I saw that last year and, you know, here we go. But my concern would be if they miss the playoffs at one point is that Granato comes back, which I guess it's so weird.
I think Granato will be back if his team goes in hot.
I just think he's going to come back.
Yeah.
Like,
and then his extension, the buyout's gone, and you actually have...
I just don't think... I'm going to be honest. I just don't think it matters if they miss the playoffs. But now they absolutely don't win another game. Like, sure.
Yeah, but listen, if they win a couple more games and show promise like this, like they did last night,
I just think
he's staying. He's going to be the coach.
I just
think that's what it is.
I just think he's going to come back. Now, my only thing would be this. Completely wipe the coaching staff outside him.
Yes, like,
that is my. I'm sorry.
Get special teams out of there. Power play gone.
Happens. Yeah, they can make the freaking playoffs for all I care. None of those assistant coaches should be coming back.
No,
like
they're terrible.
Those guys should be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think I'm pretty confident they're making changes to the roster. But my one caveat that I don't know is confirmed going to happen.
Yeah,
is the outside of Granato coaches, and they at least at bare minimum had to be gone. They had to be gone at bare minimum. I don't know. I'm starting to think that Granato is safe, which is kind of,
I mean, it's kind of the realization we had with McDermott after a little bit.
Here's my thing, and this has always been my thing with Granato. I think he has some ability to develop players, and like we're seeing it now with Benson, Paterka, and all that. My frustration with Granato is that he's not a tactician.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just not. Like, I just feel like the Sabres routinely get outcoached in the X's and O's, not the Jimmys and Joes.
Yeah.
Like, I just think in a playoff series, if they played against a coach that was really good, like, I just think they would get freaking destroyed on tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my thing, is that like, I just don't think I could trust Granato. And I guess it's the same people what people think with McDermott, is that like, oh, you know, is he really that?
He gets outcoached.
Does he get outcoached? Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, sure. Andy Reid coaches a lot of people, so I guess that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's really the same. We don't really have any evidence of playoff series, obviously, duh. But like in the regular season, like this is the same guy that can't figure out how to freaking pull a goalie.
Yeah, that's
or still... like have a like a pop. And now the penalty kill's kind of somewhat turned like been a little bit more interesting, and they've had some success in the power play. But even that's like,
I mean, we got teams pulling goalies in overtime, and we can't figure out how to do it in regulation.
It's asinine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, again, like, I think he's a good dude. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
And I think he's good for the room per se.
He's the culture coach.
I just don't think
he's getting over the hump.
Well, I agree. 1,000%. I just don't think you're going
to
like,
you're not going to the cup with Granato.
You're not going to be like successful in the playoffs of that kind of coach. Mm-hmm. I just don't, because you need a coach who can make key adjustments in the key moments
at KeyBank Center.
And it just feels like every time the Sabres are down by a goal in the third period, they play like trash because teams play the trap and they just don't figure out like that. They can't get the big power play goal when they need to. And like the penalty kill every once in a while just kind of takes a lull for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So again, I think part of it's UPL saving the job, because I think if UPL was kind of like, even if he wasn't the number one goalie, if he was like the 10th best goalie, which is still pretty good, like the Sabres wouldn't be even close.
Yeah.
So again, and I also think Bowen Byram saving his job, but
yeah. You know, you might have just heard me say KeyBank Center there. It was to add another key to the same sentence that you were saying, because you said key moments at key times and all, whatever. Oh, but it's also because they play better anywhere but KeyBank Center most of the time. So unless they're in the black and reds at home.
Going to the game on Thursday.
Yeah. Unless they're in the black and reds, they play like animals like last night. But listen, do they put the go-ahead at center ice from here on out? Bring the vibes for the end of the season.
The vibes.
Change Sabretooth's colors to black and red.
The death of the vibes. But last thing I will say is that they did announce that they are going to play a exhibition preseason game in Germany against JJ Paterka's old team next year. And then I believe they're starting their season October 4th and October 6th in Prague, Czechia.
Yes, they are.
Against the New Jersey Devils.
So, I saw the little thing with the, you know, we're going overseas or whatever. So,
I do want to say this, and this is my last thing before we head out, because we have a little, you know, morning pod edition of Buffalonian. It is kind of amazing how we were literally pounding on the table for them to get a legit top four defenseman outside of Power and Dahlin. And now that they have, like, it's completely changed the team.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, you know, I feel very
validated.
Thank you. You know how I helped you out earlier. If you're worried.
Yeah.
I was going to say a pat on the back.
Yeah. No,
I feel incredibly validated by the fact that we were pounding on the table, like, hey, get a top four defenseman. Now, we wanted the right shot, but like, again,
but your
beggars can't be choosers.
No, and Dahlin went over to the right side and he's doing fantastic. So.
I feel very, because it's changed the entire team. I mean, it's truly.
You have a defense that has more than one line that can do
something. You have an
elite
pair, you have another elite guy on another pair, and then your bottom pair is playing. You and Jacob Bryson is playing.
They're serviceable.
Well. They're serviceable.
Yeah.
That's kind of how you build a team.
Yeah.
So
we've said Vegas is the standard, right, for depth. That's why they won the Stanley Cup, right? Mm-hmm.
Also for cap, but you know.
Also for cap, whatever.
LTIR.
Anyway,
trash.
No, that's you want depth. Any of their lines can play with any of the best lines in the NHL. That's just how it is. So, the Sabres are maybe looking to do that. They're starting to on defense, so that's what's exciting here. But, it's a lot of news. A lot of news.
No new Bills news.
No new Bills news as of recording. We're recording this. So, if anything comes out after that, we'll talk about it next week. But without further ado, that's going to do it for this edition of the Buffalonian Podcast. I'm Joe Calley. As always, I'm joined by none other than Dom Loss. And Dom, how do we always end these, buddy?
Go Bills, baby.
Go Bills. Go Sabres. Let's get to the playoffs with that.
Go Bandits.
Go Bandits.